No, I asked Billy earlier. I was looking around, and, you know, the crowd's kind of small this morning. And I asked Billy, I said, did you tell them last week that I was preaching this week? And then I remembered. I prayed just like I do every week. Lord, bring the people that really need to hear this message. So, just kidding. Yeah. I'm glad everybody's here this morning. And I always look forward to the opportunity to be able to bring God's word. And I spent 9 years out on the road before we came here. And this is what I did a lot of Sunday mornings. I just kind of stayed with my guitar because it gave me a barrier between me and you. Made me feel a little safer, but just gave me the opportunity to just speak. And we may go back into some more music here in a little bit, and if y'all don't mind that. But have you noticed a theme developing this morning in everything that's been talked about in the music? There's one word that's come to mind is freedom. Amen. And, of course, that's kind of been the theme of the week, the theme of yesterday being Independence Day. And I kind of started questioning, you know, this message came to mind, and I started kind of questioning, okay, it's the day after Independence Day. Do I preach on freedom? And then I started thinking about this morning. You know, our independence was won on July 4th, right? The true test of freedom didn't start until July 5th when they got up the next day and to see if it was really real, right? You know, you can win your independence, you can, you know, have a declaration, but it's every day getting up and declaring that you're free. And that's what we need to do. You know, I've noticed this week, you know, just all week long, you know, Billy was talking about things that have been happening. But yesterday, as I got on Facebook and looked at different things online, all I saw was these scriptures and all these things about America and about how strong we are. And, you know, you start hearing different slogans, but one scripture kept popping up, and it's actually the scripture I'm using this morning. And, Lee, if you want to go ahead and put it up, it's Galatians 5:1. And it says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Powerful verse. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, somebody, I'm just going to ask y'all and just throw this at you. Whenever you think of freedom, what do you think of? Somebody give me something. Independence. What else? Choice. Those are good ones. Okay. Anybody else? Those are all very good things. I mean, the things you think of whenever you think of freedom. You know, in America, we talk a lot about freedom. And as I said, that you know, this last weekend, yesterday, we celebrated the independence of our country. We heard a lot about freedom. And these are the things that kept popping up, too. Let freedom ring. You hear freedom isn't free. Give me liberty or give me death. Those are things that have ringed throughout our nation that we've heard. These are some of the familiar phrases that we identify with our nation's independence. Freedom is a powerful word, and it can mean different things to different people. Give you some examples. To people who are oppressed by their government or a political tyrant, freedom means a release from the oppressive government. And that's basically what our freedom is in America, what we celebrate on Independence Day. Someone who's in bondage to fear, freedom means being released from that fear. Now, you can think of other people. You look back through history, freedom in other forms, abolition of slavery, the right to vote. And I can give you another example. Every day I go to work in a prison. You know, you walk out there and you start talking to these guys, what does freedom mean to them? It means getting out of that place, being free from being locked up. You know, there are those who even take an extreme view of freedom, and they think that freedom means that we are free to do whatever we want. You know, there should be no restrictive laws, there should be no restrictions on our personal freedoms, which probably goes back to why I go to work in a prison during the week. But there are those who believe that way. But freedom is different depending on where you live, I believe. Here in the United States, you know, we really don't have an idea. Somebody brought up choice. We really don't know what it's like to not be able to choose, you know, what occupation we want, choose to worship when and where we want. We have those freedoms. You know, many people around the world don't have these simple freedoms. And I hate to say it, a lot of times in America, we take them for granted. We really do. And yet in the middle of the freedom, there are many people who aren't free at all. I think our freedom has gone through a transition. You know, you think back 239 years, all these attitudes and different ideas about freedom. We've gone through a transition. Our freedom started off as freedom of. And to tell you what I'm talking about, in 1787, this is your history lesson for the day. 1787, our Constitution was written, sent for ratification to the states. Through the ratification process, people wanted the guarantee of specific freedoms. And within a few years, the Bill of Rights was added. Those first 10 amendments to the Constitution, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, many of those other freedoms we enjoy, they were born. These freedoms flow out of the Revolutionary War, Declaration of Independence, and godly principles that this nation was founded on. But I think we've gone through a transition with some of our mindset, and now it's freedom from instead of freedom of. For many Americans today, freedom means to be free from any types of restraints, freedom that's similar to what is found in the Old Testament. There's a scripture that says, in these days Israel had no king and everyone did as he saw fit. Freedom from restraint. Now, I think a lot of times people look at freedom from a what's in it for me kind of attitude. You know, we're living in this freedom from phase, wishing for a better day, but also seeking a freedom that goes along with whatever they feel like doing. I read this survey one time whenever, you know, I started looking at this message. And this is actually a message I shared on July 4th at another church a few years back. But I remember this survey and it got my attention. It said only 13% of Americans still believe in all 10 commandments. 9 out of 10 people admit they lie regularly. And for $10 million, 7% of people say they would kill a complete stranger. That's scary, isn't it? So I'll just tell you this. As Christians, we have to step up and pray for another type of freedom. I talked about freedom of and freedom from. What we need to pray for is freedom for. Freedom for opportunities to reach out to others. We have to recognize God's eternal purpose for followers is what? Is to connect people to Jesus. Now, Jeff always gets up here and points out what our slogan is. Love others, or love God, love people, and offer them Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. So I think we pray for freedom for opportunities to reach out to others. Have you ever prayed just for God to open doors for you? And I'll tell you a little story about that. I talked about working at a prison, and a few years back, before all the MS stuff started, I was actually in gray. I was a captain at the Middleton unit. And here's what happened. I had a guy come up to me on the sidewalk one day, and I had prayed to God. I said, give me opportunities. Show me where you want this ministry to go. Because I was getting involved in music and out on the road. I said, show me what you want me to do. Show me opportunities. This inmate walked up to me. He said, I got a question for you, Captain. He said, I don't even know if you're a father, but Father's Day is coming up, and we'd like for you to come in and talk to the guys at church. And I looked at him. I was like, inside I was going, well, I don't really want to do that. Conflict of interest was my first thought. But I told him, I said, if you can't find anybody else, you come back and see me. And I immediately felt guilty. But I just went on from that. And I happened to be working visitation that weekend. I was overseeing visitation. And I thought that morning the volunteer chaplain called me. He said, I'm not sure who's doing church this morning. I said, well, let me go over to the chaplain's office and I'll look and see. So I went over and I looked, and it was the guy that had called me. So I called him back. I said, it's you. He said, well, I've got nothing prepared, but I'll be out there in a little bit. And I said, okay. Not really thinking of what was fixing to happen to me. But anyway, he came in and he said, you know, they've already got them in the gym. Let me go down and see what happens. I said, well, I'll walk down there with you. And I never did that. But I thought this morning I'm going to go down and make sure everything's going okay with church. As I walk in the door, I see that same inmate making a beeline at me. And I'm like, okay. And he came up. He said, so you going to share something? And I looked at him. I said, yeah. I mean, that was the only thing I could say. Because God was like giving me a second chance at this after I'd made up my mind. So I got up and I actually got this old beat up guitar they had. I sang them a song, and then out of I don't know where, I just started talking about fathers and different things. And you have to realize a lot of these guys have probably never had a real father figure in their life. I mean, they, you know, that's part of the reason they are where they are. But I just started talking, and I had this guy walk out afterwards just with tears in his eyes, and he said, I've been locked up 25 years, and I've never seen anything like that. He said, for you in your position to step up and do what you just did. And I just went outside and I was just like, God, you know, you gave me that opportunity and I asked you to open doors and then I tried to get out of it, you know. And I learned a lesson that day, I thought. And a few weeks later, I was back down there and they were serving communion. And the inmate walked up to me and he came up ahead of time and he said, can you share something this morning? I said, I really don't. I don't have anything. I don't think I'm supposed to. And immediately went to the back, started beating myself up, thinking, did you not learn just a few weeks ago? You know. But then they started serving communion. They're coming back towards the back, and I think, okay, I have two choices. I can either not do it, and I think I'm better than them, or I just do it. And the guy walked up, and he offered me communion. I took it, and then he looked at me and said, so are you going to share something? And I was like, yeah. Usually I only have to get hit once, but you know, I just said, yeah, I said, get the guitar ready. I'll be up there. And, but you know, it's just one of those things that you learn. And I really have no idea what that had to do with any of this or where I was going with it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. If you pray for opportunities, if you pray for God to open doors, you're going to reach people. And that's what I was talking about. Freedom for opportunities to reach out to others, to show them Christ. Now I have an example here in the movie, The Patriot. The story is told of a fictitious character named Benjamin Martin and his family's involvement in the American Revolution and the price that was paid. It says the movie begins with the opening credits rolling and Benjamin Martin speaks this line, I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me. And as the story goes on, Martin fought in an earlier war with the French and Native Americans, and though he was a war hero, he was haunted by his own actions in that war. Later in the movie, when tragedy hits, Martin repeats this line, I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me. Have you ever lived with that fear, that your sins would return to visit you? Now, throughout Galatians, Paul reminds us of this, how Christ's death takes away that fear, if we just allow it to, if we just trust in Him and trust that His death actually does that, that His blood actually covers those things. Now, it provides lasting forgiveness and restoration. And the good thing about that, Christ has set us free, not just for a day, but for eternity. Amen. Now I can repeat Galatians 5:1 to you. It says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then it says, stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Think about that, a yoke of slavery. You know, we are in a free country. We're in a place where we talk about freedom. But many people today are still in slavery or bondage to something. You know, we live in a nation where people are in bondage to gambling, you know, hoping to strike it rich, and sometimes even to the point of spending that money that should go to their family. I mean, making that decision, I'm going to do this to strike it rich instead of taking care of my family. People are in bondage to habits. People are in bondage to pornography. You know, just things like that. People are in bondage to their cell phones. Guilty, sometimes. You know, it's just different things like that, you know. People are trapped in criminal lifestyles. I keep going back to that, but in order to finance their addictions. People are in bondage to peer pressure. And when I think about peer pressure, I think about raising my daughter. You know, things that, you know, it could be negative to her. But there's a lot of adult peer pressure going on, too. Y'all agree with that? You know, this mentality of trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, trying to have better things. To see who can have the best, the fastest, the newest toys. You know, you ever heard that old phrase, whoever dies with the most toys wins? They don't win. I'll just say that. You know, we're bound by those possessions. And I'm not saying that having things is wrong. It's just letting those things control you. That's where you get into the problem. It becomes bondage at that point. You know, you can become like the person that has to have that nice, fast, expensive car to drive to work. And then they have to go work overtime to pay for that nice, fast, expensive car. It's just a never-ending cycle. You know, people are in bondage to self. This one gets scary. It's more subtle, it can be more dangerous, and it's deceptive at times. You know, it can change the life even of a Christian. We have the attitude, and we believe many times. You know, we teach our children this, be yourself, have your own way, protect your rights, take care of number one. But what they become is self-centered, self-conscious, self-seeking, self-defensive, and basically just selfish. And that becomes bondage too. Now the Bible talks about denying ourselves, being crucified with Christ. And I think that's where we need to be today to find true freedom. Billy talked about it last week, about Satan's favorite lies. That was that message really got my attention. And as I looked back over this one again today, I'd actually talked about that. And people are in bondage to the lies of Satan today. Here's some things he'll tell you. Billy covered three of them, but here's some other things that Satan will tell you. He'll tell you it's hopeless. You can never stop sinning. You'll never have victory over sin. He'll tell you that. You'll never get free from bondage. It's one of his favorites. You're a failure. How about this one? You're a lousy excuse for a Christian. It's things that he just puts in your head. You don't want to stop sinning. Sin is fun. God won't punish you. One that Billy talked about, God would never really send you to hell. He talked about everybody going to heaven. You can do whatever you want. God just wants you to be happy. These are just lies. It goes on and on. It's a very real problem today, I think. Here's some scriptures that remind us of this. And I've got quite a few of them. I'm not going to ask you to turn to all of them, but Lee's going to put them up for me. Romans 3:23 says this. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one." Ecclesiastes 7:20. "There's not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins." And then 1 John 1:8. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You start reading all those, and you can kind of get beat down pretty quick. Sin is universal in its effect. It's an equal opportunity employer, is, for lack of a better word. But it's a very real problem. Billy talked last week about the gospel. And anybody know what gospel means? Good news. So to know the good news, you got to know the bad news. And I've just given you all the bad news. So you're sitting here going, is he going to keep this up the whole morning? He's wearing me out. But that's the best thing about it. There is good news. Amen. It sounds pretty depressing when you think about everything I've been talking about. But to know the good news, you have to know that bad news. So what's the good news? The good news is, for all this sin, for all this bondage, there's a cure. There's freedom. And I'm going to hit you with a few more scriptures here. There's an opportunity for true freedom from the law of sin and death. John 8:32 says this, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen? That's a good one. John 8:36. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Romans 6:18. "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Bondage is a huge problem, but it doesn't have to be. Sin cannot rule you. You can master it. You can resist it. Because James 4:7 says this, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He has to. He has to flee from you. So I say all that to say this, we can find true freedom. Jesus came to break those chains of bondage. And that's where our true freedom comes from, is Christ. Just like the war that brought our nation its freedom so many years ago, the victory was won. The promise of freedom came over 2,000 years ago on a cross. Another type of battlefield, on a cross. With the shedding of our Savior's blood. You've heard this famous phrase. At the outbreak of the Revolutionary War, the American statesman Patrick Henry uttered this phrase, "Give me liberty or give me death." It became a slogan for the Revolution, liberty or death. There were no other options. And I'll tell you today, whenever you think about bondage, you think about sin, there are no other options. It's either Christ or you're in bondage. I'd read this too. The state motto of New Hampshire. Does anybody know what that is? Live free or die. There you go. I had a feeling somebody was going to know that. That's good. I think they take their freedom very seriously in New Hampshire. What do you think? It goes back to the "give me liberty or give me death." And we as Christians should take our freedom that seriously. We are people who have discovered and want to share the ultimate freedom in Jesus Christ. Give me liberty or give me death. Think about this. Our liberty is because of his death. And more than that, because he rose again on that third day. That's the good news. Amen. Now it's... We have this ability to live free, you know, a life free of chains and bondage to sin, live eternally with our Father in heaven, and that's, again, because of Jesus' resurrection. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I love that. And when Jesus makes you free, you are truly free indeed. Are y'all free this morning? Y'all free? You know, I know I read these things, and you know, some of it's, as I said, sounds depressing. You know, we sang the song earlier, you know, as we opened up the service, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace. There is love. There is joy. Y'all have all that in your heart this morning? If you don't, you can. That's the good news. I'd like for y'all all to bow your heads. I just want to share a couple more things here. And, you know, I said true freedom begins with Christ. We began the service this morning singing that, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We're going to end, or the next song we're going to do actually says that very same thing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It says, lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace. Falling on every face, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus, there is freedom. Freedom is available. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is believe. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. That's the freedom we're talking about this morning. I'm going to start singing this song. You know, I just want you to spend some time just, you know, Billy asked earlier, you know, just thanking God for the freedoms we enjoy. But if you're not experiencing that true freedom I've been talking about, that freedom in Christ, you need to pray with somebody this morning. Billy will be available. There'll be others that you can pray with. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you know, I need to experience this. I need to know what he's talking about. But I'm going to start singing this and just, you know, y'all... It's whatever God's calling you to do. Just spend time with him. You know, the altar is open. The altar is always open. You can spend time there. You can pray with someone else. If God's just telling you to worship right now, then just join me in worship. But the thing is, you know, we started off with a song that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm going back to a song that says that same thing, because freedom doesn't just begin with Christ. It begins and ends. And every day in between is with Christ. That's where that freedom comes from.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Lift your eyes to heaven.
Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom.
Just let this freedom reign in your hearts this morning.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
He's calling you this morning if you're tired and thirsty.
If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom.
give your all to Him this morning. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom.
Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom.
Jesus reigns.
Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom.
Give your all to Jesus.
Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Jesus reigns.
Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
You want His freedom this morning? Y'all stand and sing this with me. I didn't tell Lee I was going to do this, but I think he can pull it up.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God.
He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise.
He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Name above all names.
He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
One time, how great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. all will see how great, how great is our God.
Y'all experiencing His true freedom this morning? Freedom in Christ. He is a great God. Amen. Okay, I pointed this out one time before whenever I preached. When you go out this side over here, to my left, your right, what does it say? Anybody know? It says, go tell somebody. I pointed out that time that this side didn't say anything, but that didn't free you. Because it now says you're entering your mission field, if y'all hadn't seen that sign. So guess what? I said pray for opportunities. Y'all do that this week. Just see what God opens up for you. Amen. I hope y'all have a blessed day. Just remember His greatness and the freedom we experience in Him. Amen. Y'all be blessed.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God.